talking about today is basically the what could be construed as a conflict of interest between a researcher and doing research where you want to maximize a client's return on their investment, balancing that with what their goals are commercially. So this is the USDA Champlain Field Station in Canal Point. It's very, very small. If you blink, the road is right here, and you will go right past it. We have beautiful muck soil. It's my favorite, so this is one of my favorite photos of it. But it's extremely small. Our budget for the USDA is just over $2 million for the entire station. And it's that's a very small budget. Also, if you're familiar with releasing varieties to industry, you know that typically you will release seed. Like I was responsible for releasing the first 13 chilling-tolerant cucumbers in the world, and I released them as seed. But a commercial company is going to pick those up and breed them into their own elite germplasm, right? They're not going to just use them. They'll breed them into their products. So with sugarcane, it's different. We release clones, okay? So these go out to industry, and they're planted exactly as they're released. So we develop them and release them, and then they go out, and we'll get to how much they make every year. So in the 1920s, the original sugarcane station was in Houma, and they started Canal Point. The sugarcane industry in Louisiana is much older, but they started in Canal Point as a crossing station because the climate was amenable to flowering, and so it was actually made to create seed for Louisiana. The Cuban crisis in the 1960s brought a lot of immigrants into the area, and the Cubans were very experienced with sugarcane. So they brought not only their knowledge, but they brought some of their technology. And so they were able to initiate a market of sugarcane. So nearly 95% of the sugarcane cultivars in Florida were developed at Canal Point. The other five were developed by U.S. Sugar. They're also right there, and they typically collaborate with us. A lot of the clones are actually CPCL clones, which means they're crosses between our varieties. Here's a diagram of the increase from 1960 in the acreage that has been dedicated to sugarcane, and you can see it goes down from, it was actually like 40,000, and now we grow about 400,000 in 50 years. So sugarcane is produced in three states. Again, Louisiana is the oldest. Florida is the biggest, and Texas has got a percentage. Hawaii has been shut down now, so they no longer produce. Between the three states, they produce 90% of the sugarcane annually. You can see the percentages. Florida's got a slight advantage over Louisiana, probably for size. And as a group producing sugar for the United States, obviously not all sugar comes from sugarcane. It comes from what are those? Thank you. I told you I'm losing. It can't make it to the front. So thank you. But this is how much percentage from sugarcane, actual sugarcane. And then of course we have imports as well. Thank you. Feel free as I do this. This is my favorite. One of my favorite parts is the bagasse, is all of the leafy material. That's not the stalk. And they use that to cogen their plants. And so I like that in particular because of something else I'm working on. So, but in they basically generate 2.1 billion kilowatts of electricity per year. They also have enough that not only powers their plant, but they can feed it back into the power grid. And I think it powers about 50,000 houses, if I'm not mistaken. So it's actually become so efficient that they started a plant called Telus, which is going to use the leftovers to make paper plates and stuff. So the goals of Canal Point, as for any breeding program, is yield, 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 disease tolerance or disease resistance. We have very good disease screening protocols and resistances in place throughout the entire cultivar development program, which is in stages. And then also, we increase chilling tolerances by, well, me, I take them up north and I trial the end stage clones up at the Florida-Georgia border to see how they respond, because occasionally our weather is protected somewhat by Okeechobee, by Lake Okeechobee, but it's not protected completely. And so we still need to have clones that have a degree of chilling tolerance, because the sugar breaks down really quickly and then they're unable to, it's bad. And I didn't mention earlier that in 2005, there were, if I'm not mistaken, 8 clones total. They have 400,000 acres of sugarcane in Florida. And in 2005, I think there were 8 clones only grown. And now they have, I want to say, 15 clones that are grown. And I always want to raise my hand and say, Irish potato famine, anyone? 400,000 acres, okay. So chilling tolerance, and then I have other methods as well. And then genotype by harvest is what really this talk is about. So I'm not going to go into too much detail because I don't want to overdo my time. But it is a cultivar development program that goes in stages. So we have crossing, which basically takes a year. Then there's a year seed-to-seed cycle in sugarcane. I thought peppers were long. When I bred peppers, they are 6 months. And then I moved into this and was like, oh, my God. So seedlings take a year. And as you can see, we get about 10% less each time we plant. So we'll plant about 80 to 100,000 seedling clones, and one person is in charge of that. Another scientist is in charge of the stage one, and that takes a year. I'm in charge of the stage two, which is an unreplicated trial, but it's actually the first really vigorous screening of the sugarcane, and I'm the one who decides which ones go into the replicated trials into the stage threes. And then they actually go into a ratoon crop there. If you're not familiar, sugarcane is ratooned, and which means that it's cut to the ground and then it grows back, and then they do it again. You can do that multiple years. And then it goes to the stage four. So in total, a release for a cultivar can take 9 years, which is a long time to get a cultivar out. The commercial harvest season this year was 223 days, and the dates are typical of any annual. It goes from basically October to May. And because our research, because the sugarcane has such a long seed-to-seed cycle, our research has to follow the harvest season. So in stage one, they can basically measure the bricks whenever they want. So because they just hand punch, they don't actually harvest. So they do it in March. We have to sample in late October, so to stage three. And then we go and we plant, we put our new plantings in Thanksgiving week. So for the past years, I've told my kids, I have 4, I won't be cooking for Thanksgiving for the next whatever. And they're okay. But the take home message for this, come on in. No, please. It's okay. No, we, we're running out of like. The take home message here is that this is our heart. The criteria, I like the way that I missed the A on that, used to select, we select for BRICS, which is, everybody's familiar with BRICS? Okay. POL, which is polymerization of light, sucrose purity, the yield, the cane yield per acre, and then we use formulas to calculate the total sugar per acre and the economic index, which is the money they bring home. Our clones are compared in the stage two, they're compared against the best commercial checks that we have in the ground in the industry, and we rank them both agronomically and then with the sugar criteria. And then again, 135 are progressed. So when I approached the October sampling time really bothered me. And when I approached industry and my boss and said, I would like to do late sampling because I think we're missing a lot of potential. They said, no, you're going to change the program. And I said, well, I really would like to do this. And they said, no. And so I went out and I just took sampling. I went out and I took 14. And I wanted to compare them. And so as you can see, this is laser, right? Cool. This is the check. These are the two checks right here. And so those are the best two that we have in the ground. And these are the measurements in October that we get. So stage one, remember I said they measure in March and they go in hand punch. So they can measure anytime. So they're measuring at optimum time. So I wanted to see how they compared to our early harvest and the late. So anyway, these are the comparisons between taking it in October and then taking it at the end of January. And you can see the BRICS goes up, the POL goes up enormously. The sucrose yield goes up. The recoverable sucrose goes up. The tons of sugar per acre, that's a pretty big increase. And this, I liked a lot because we like money. And I'm not even in industry. So you can do the math. That's a little over two times, right? Something like that. More. So you're doubling your money by waiting. So I bring this back to my bosses. No, we don't want to do that because you're going to add another year to the cultivar development program. And I said, but look what you get out of it. And another thing is that you get to retune the stage two, which means that you actually we get very good disease data, but I would like to get better. So I'm not going to show you because of time, but I actually have a sheet that you can look at if you want. So what I did the next year is I took 84 of the next year's data. And did the same study, and sure enough, the economic index for all of them was at least two, and some of them were four times as much, which is significant. So I brought this to the boss, and I brought this to the industry, and they allowed me to harvest the entire stage two times, which is just the cost of laborers. Which is not a lot of day laborers. So what were the results for both years of the stage twos? I don't have the data with me here. Well, I have it, but not here. Stage two datas, both years, it was the same pattern. And what we found is that without fail, they were increasing across. It was just a matter of how much they were increasing. And we had multiplication factors of anywhere from 2 to 4. And depending on what your original economic index was, say it was a 2000 to begin with. That's a lot when you multiply it by three or four. And the income, by the way, for the sugarcane industry is $2 billion a year. Okay, $2 billion. So we want clones with sustained performance. We want clones with sustained performance. However, out of the 135 clones, how long am I? Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm boring. This is like my last slide. I'm sorry. Out of the 135 clones that were chosen in the fall, only 10% of them remained even remotely successful by the end of the season. Right? Only 10% of them. And then I also discovered that they were literally missing over half of the clones that were superior. By the end of the season, we had missed 70 clones that far outperformed what they had picked in the beginning. So my personal objective of this is to get them to realize what they're missing, and to provide a portfolio. We do want early sugars. We do want mid sugars. And this is going to calculate the late sugars so that when the growers are out there harvesting, they can say, okay, we can leave that field for now. 400,000 acres is a lot. We can take the sugar now because it's good now. We can take the sugar now because it's good now. And so that's what I would like to do, is to create a portfolio. And then, of course, we want to be able to release the maximum number of cultivars, and we're going to be able to do that by maximizing the benefit of our sampling time. Why should the industry be interested? Because if the economic indexes are being multiplied 3 and 4 times, and right now their profit is $2 billion per year, they don't like me increasing the program by a year, but I'm thinking that increasing your profit from $6 to $8 billion a year should put a smile on your face. It would put a smile on my face. So I would say avoid this at all costs. I was actually advised to take this slide out, but I like it because it's true. This happens a lot. You get into a situation like this, and people like me end up being the redheaded stepchild. You've got people going, no, we don't want this goose that lays eggs of solid. We don't want that extra $6 billion. Oh, please don't do it, because I'm going to get in trouble if you take a picture. Do not let them. You can take a picture, but don't. No, just don't tell anybody where it came from. So I'm telling them, you've got $6 billion of profit you could be making. Add an extra year. Who cares? And then you have, that's a distraction from our program. I have been told so many times, no, our program's been like this since the beginning. Okay. So, and I showed one of them, one of my slides prior to coming, and he was just, his mouth was a little like stunned. And I said, I've only been trying to tell you this for 4 years. So anyway. Thank you. And enjoy the remainder of the conference, and please don't pass along my sarcasm to Phil Simon, to Ed Stover. I ran over late too, super late. So thank you everybody for coming, and thanks for attending. And if you have any questions, let me know, and I apologize. I tried to talk as fast as I could.